One summer night at a gig in Rhinelander, Wisconsin, up in the North Woods, we happened on a band that rocked this small town stage, had everyone dancing all night, and even drove the mosquitoes away. Rhinelander is a town of 7,700 people, a resort town in a chain of lakes. This is just the kind of place that the band Paul Sebar and the Milwaukeeans often appear, from a beer and brat community festival at the edge of a cornfield to the terrace of the Student Union at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. Paul Sebar is a performing catalyst. The band wants people to just get out and dance. In almost every big city, there's a band like Paul Sebar and the Milwaukeeans, a band that everyone knows because they're such a presence at state fairs, local dive bars, maybe even weddings. They usually have a few CDs, but their mainstay is live performance. Paul Sebar and the Milwaukeeans have been playing their particular brand of funk, soul, and jazz in Wisconsin and around the country for more than 20 years. And Paul Sebar joins us now from WUWM in Milwaukee. And hello, Paul.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing just great, and we're so glad that you could be with us. You just heard me introduce you, Paul. Would you say that's a fair characterization?
A fair characterization?
You seem to be everywhere in Wisconsin.
Well, we have been, I think, at some point during these years. I guess I really do like the live situation. I mean, I love recording as well, but I am very oriented towards trying to foster some sort of dance community the way people that I've admired have, people like Ol' Udara in New York, or Ry Cooder, even though he doesn't go out and play live anymore. But I think the implication in his music was that there was a place to dance to this music, and that place would be a pretty fine place to be.
What did you listen to growing up? I take it it wasn't this old radio show that I can recall, having grown up in Wisconsin, called Ask Your Neighbor, in which people telephoned each other to ask about how to get ink out of a shirt or, you know, better ways to lay down rock salt in the icy driveway.
I am sure I heard it at some point, but I remember there was a great soul DJ here named Dr. Bop on WAWA radio. There was WNOV radio, which is another soul station. Then there was WOKY and WRIT, which were both sort of pop stations. And I was six or seven when my dad brought home a radio. He was an AV man and teacher at a school. And he brought home a radio for me, and I ended up holding up in the basement and just checking it all out. And at the time, this was early 60s, you'd hear like Lee Dorsey, and you'd hear Ernie Cado and all these guys coming out of New Orleans. You'd hear the beginnings of the British invasion. And as a seven-year-old, you have a very different assessment of those things than I might have had I been 15 and raging with hormones. But I think it was a wonderful thing, and it opened up an appreciation for music that I've never really been able to kind of cover over.
Now, I hear a story about you that someone in Milwaukee told me, and it may be completely apocryphal. Is it true that you lived at home for a very long time while you got your band together?
Yeah, that's true.
In your mom's basement?
I don't think I lived in the basement, but I did have a lot of records in the basement. When I was beginning to play music, I tried to find my own sort of area that I could interpret, and I started out playing, you know, kind of folky type things, but happened upon a great record collection that a friend had inherited from someone, and I've been trying to incorporate different styles and different ethnic outlooks and see how that kind of helps one to come at a different kind of narrator or come at a different sort of story. And I think one of the ideas I had is that I fancied myself a thinking person as I came back home from college, and one of the ideas I had was to stay in this center part of the country and to try and be, you know, like at least the one-man committee that tried to thwart ideas about how things might sound here.
You've got a new CD that you've been working on, and it hasn't been released yet. You don't have a label
yet.
That's right. But I wondered if you'd play something for us from it.
There's one here called The Gimp Sparrow, number 3. Was an idea I had at a particularly heartbroken time, that it was kind of the idea of someone looking and seeing a little bird that had been hit in the street and was kind of laying in the street, and it's kind of an identification with this little character, and the idea of sort of the nature of heartbreak and of how, you know, don't ask too much from me, I can't fly, I can't even run at this point, so take it easy on me to the next one, and I kind of was thinking along the lines of some of my favorite Calypsonians, although also trying to get some Cuban guitar ideas into the tune, and in typical fashion trying to fit a lot of different things into one little package. You tell a good story, I like how you begun, but I'm the gimp sparrow and
I can't run. Well, it's got a lot of happy backbeat, though, for somebody who feels they're got
That's
a damaged
right.
wing.
That's what I've always enjoyed, the kind of tension between sort of a cheerful surface and a turbulent underneath.
Paul Seabar, we have to say goodbye. We wish we didn't, but it's been a great pleasure talking to you.
Well, thank you very much, Jackie. Pleasure to talk to you as well.
Paul Seabar, founded in Leeds, Paul Seabar and the Milwaukeeans. And he joined us from member station WUWM in Milwaukee. But I'm against